We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future.
Hey, where's my jet?
Three new pairs formed this month. Two protectors, two destroyers, and two sapphic scientists.
In kaiju news, alliances between the strange beasts are forming. Firstly, the two protector kaiju, the Antarctic Protector and Big Tanuki, finally united in Melbourne, Australia. Both creatures instinctively follow paths of destruction to restore the damage. In this case, both following the path of the Bird of Prey, who last month irradiated a number of Pacific islands and finally devastated South Melbourne. Tanuki arrived first, emerging from the ocean on St. Kilda Beach, once a thriving golden tourist destination, now overcast and empty, save for the rotting corpse of Dromias. Appearing to sense the Antarctic Protector's approach, Tanuki waited on the beach for their arrival. After an hour, the Protector emerged from the clouds and finally united with their comrade. Although this was their first physical encounter, the Protector pair embraced each other like old friends, then set out to work clearing radiation and healing zombies with their healing blasts. After restoring South Melbourne, the Protectors headed further inland, restoring land affected by fires and deforestation throughout Victoria. After a week restoring biodiversity to Victoria's rainforests, the pair finally rejoined the Pacific Ocean, heading northeast. Today, the Protectors are restoring land devastated by Australia's phosphate mining in the Pacific island of Nauru, making the land habitable for the first time in generations. Yet, just as two Protectors have married their healing powers, two Destroyers have also combined forces. North American Bald Eagle Bird of Prey met South American Macaw Mito in the Brazilian capital. Locals hoped Mito would fight off the North America Predator, but instead the pair teamed up to lay waste to Mito's home country and continent. Between Mito's fire blast and Bird of Prey's radiation blast, these two fowls are formidable. After weeks of pumping radiation into the open veins of Latin America, they now appear to be headed to the Bird of Prey's homeland in North America. Meanwhile, across the Atlantic, the British Scurry of Squirrels, Hazel and the Nutcrackers, are touring Western Europe. Today, they blitzed through Berlin, cracking uncountable nuts. Finally, in Western Asia, the aggregator decimated Jerusalem last night, knocking down the Western Wall, among other significant sites, aggregating them into his giant debris ball. Today saw scenes of mass grief mourning the destruction of holy sites. In fact, the mourning is global, with all Abrahamic denominations engaging in funerary rites, except the evangelicals, who believe this is a sign their Messiah is returning.
So, it's the apocalypse.
What's new?
Well, one thing that is new, Antarctica had its first ever gay marriage, or lesbian specifically. I'm seeing patterns and clouds here, I think, but that's three new pairs formed this month. Two protectors, two destroyers, and two sapphic scientists.
Well, you've also had COVID down there too, but I digress. Robinson and Mills?
COVID hasn't reached Dyer Station, but yeah, sure, it's reached the continent. Now they're the Robinsons, no Mills.
So figures they'd go with that surname.
Because they're old Lost in Space fans, or because Nay Robinson is more butch?
You said it, not me.
Moving on from that dubious binary, Dr. Tate officiated the ceremony, didn't know she was a celebrant before now. She traded her white coat for red ceremonial robes. Since she already looked like Tilda Swinton, it was kind of hard not to think of the new Suspiria. The vows were as much about loyalty to the Antarctic Protector as each other. They had Karen the admin taking tithes for the Global Protection Society. I tithe. The wedding ring had a cyan stone, just like Tate's necklace. It's very sort of visible, like light. white, bluey, green, you know, it stands out a mile away. And after the vows, she got everybody to touch the stone, all in a line, like taking communion.
Did you?
Yeah. Unlike communion, you don't have to be a member of the congregation. And it seemed like the respectful thing to do. You know, when I'm at church, I do what the people do, unless there's a very specific reason not to. So I participated and I touched the stone, kind of thought, well, this is going to be nothing. But there's something to it. It gave me this weird flash of something like a hallucination. It was an ancient stone city populated by these creatures with ribbed bodies, wings, and faces like starfish. Kind of hard to describe. They were moving around the city slowly, but then they stopped and they all turned towards me at once, and then I jerked back to reality. Also, nothing.
Nothing?
You'll think I'm crazy. I mean, I am crazy. I'm bipolar. But this might be something else.
I'm bipolar too, babe. And the world, I hate to break it to you, is crazy. I'll believe you.
Okay, well, the flash reminded me of something. I've been having nightmares about that same city every night. Then when I asked Tate what she saw...
She saw the same thing?
Yeah, independently. I told her nothing about my own vision, but she saw the exact same thing, down to details. The starfish faces, way too specific. I know there are these cranks who use facial cues and stuff, but how would she use facial cues to get starfish face? You know, that is so specific, and I just can't really explain it. So she told me I'd have to join the Protection Society to find out what it meant, what the creatures are, what the city is, what any of this adds up to. So, sell the sizzle, not the sausage, I guess. It's a good pitch.
So what does it all add up to?
No idea. There's something to Kate's protector worship, but I'm still not joining her weird little,
cult?
You said it, not me. Anyway, once winter ends, the Robinsons plan a honeymoon at the southern pole of inaccessibility, visiting the Lenin bust left behind by a Soviet expedition in the 50s. They talked about the site like it was sacred and had this kind of slideshow. I wasn't quite clear on why the Lenin bust was so significant to them. At some point, it segued into Latin chanting. So at that point, Karen the admin and I bailed before the human sacrifices started.
The last part was a joke, right?
Yeah, they really were chanting in Latin, though.
Way too believable.
Yeah. Guess who didn't show up to the wedding at all? Just one person on the station. Pretty noticeable.
Morel?
Yeah. The mysterious Mr. Morel from Miskatonic. He's completely absorbed in Daira's diary. He whispers to it more than he talks to people. Thank Carnegie the Pittman Foundation failed at putting him in charge. Things are weird enough already. Karen's the only one left you can still have a reasonable conversation with, so when the Latin chanting started, we hit in her office to shit talk over beef jerky.
Oh, Karen does love beef jerky. Remember, she let us keep our two-person room for a season's worth.
Of course I remember. Anyway, she told me Morel's full name is Mason Morel. Who has an alliterated name? Is he a superhero?
More like a supervillain.
Well, he's pretty minor in the rogues gallery, to be fair. The zombies and kaiju are more threatening.
Any sense of his origin story?
New England old money, according to Karen. Like the rest of the Pikmin Foundation. She also told me his luggage was mostly goth trinkets. Black candles, pentagram dishes, crystals, real teen wicker shit. One day we'll burn him at the stake. Not much science luggage, she said. What even is his field?
Reading old diaries, apparently? And reporting what's happening to the Pikmin Foundation?
That's probably the main thing, intel. To be fair, we're podcasters who do data entry.
Data entry is important.
Granted. Anyway, back to Karen. She is in with the Protector cult, but she's not as deadly serious about it as the rest of them. We had a kind of friendly fight about it. She said the Antarctic Protector is the best kaiju because they can travel on land, sea, or sky, so they have advantages over the others. I said Tanuki is the best because he supercharges his healing powers through his massive cojones.
Oh, both strong arguments, but the massive cojones win.
Karen said our fixation on his cojones is weird.
That's fair.
And that they're a potential weak spot.
Well, he uses them to charge his healing blast. They're an asset.
Yeah, but a potentially vulnerable asset, maybe.
Well, let's just wish his cojones well.
Maybe we could build massive mecha pants, modesty and protection.
He doesn't seem to care much about modesty, but the battle protection is a good idea. Maybe suggest it to Dr. T.
Yeah, progress is going well on that projected air conditioning bubble to protect the Antarctic Protector in hotter climates. The ultimate microclimate, so he's actually up to battling in North Africa and such. Side bonus, it could have global warming applications too.
Well, that's positive. Any more Dire Station news?
That's about it.
Okay, we should get onto that call to Ani Z4. Let's put on our Batman voices since we're calling from the future.
Kia ora, Ani speaking.
Ani from the zombie future?
Not exactly. The zombie problem is mostly solved. Timelines redesignated K1 for kaiju.
How are we supposed to keep track of all this?
We'll tell you. Record the audio and take notes.
Okay.
I'll let Derek handle this. He's keeping track of the kaiju news.
Okay, so there are 7 kaiju from 7 continents. Presently, this timeline is likely to end in global apocalypse.
What's new?
Conventional weapons don't work. WMDs only strengthen them. So we're trying a timey-wimey solution. Your mission is to prevent the kaiju from emerging in the first place. This means addressing 6 key ecological crises that led to their rise. Continued slaughter of emus in Australia, forest fires in Brazil, nuclear waste in both Japan and the USA, drought in the Sahara Desert, and the introduction of American gray squirrels in the UK.
Is that all?
That's all.
You said 7 kaiju and 6 ecological origin stories.
The first kaiju to emerge, the Antarctic Protector, hatched from an ancient egg near the base. We don't yet know their evolutionary origin.
Shouldn't you go back further to stop this? Like, contact people in the 80s, tell the Cambrians to go back in the water?
The furthest this device reaches is 12 months. Now here's the plan. All no-fate project resources must be diverted to working with environmental groups in the affected areas. Deprioritize all other projects for the next 6 months. This is an order authorized by Dr. Tate, and future orders countermand past ones. I know it seems impossible, but it's necessary.
What about the zombie plague? Don't we need to fight that too?
Solved. You'll get the cure, and the newly awakened protector will heal the world with their eucalyptus breath.
And that's nice.
However, the protector's emergence sets off a chain reaction, awakening the other kaiju, who are mostly less benevolent.
Why didn't our existing future contact warn us about this?
The kaiju didn't awaken in his timeline. We've got a theory, but it's complicated.
I've got nothing but time on this base.
The protector appears drawn to fix human crises, particularly those we create for ourselves. The No Fate Project's aims are much the same, but our attempts to fix the crises are driving fractal schisms in space-time with unknowable consequences. The interaction of the Time Phone and our podcast is a particular source of space-time disturbances. We were the first Derek and Ani Alts to reach Dire Station, and the proximity of this temporal fault line may have awakened the slumbering protector seeking to heal the recursive rift.
Aren't you creating another time schism just by calling me?
Quiet, you. Anyway, that's all you need to know for now. I'm not permitted to give you any more information. Temporal ethics, you understand. Get to work.
If you're giving orders, you could at least call me Babe. It'd make your authority a little sexier.
Get to work, Babe.
Much better. Okay, pessimism of the intellect, optimism of the will.
Now you're getting it. Good luck.
You have seen this incident based on sworn testimony. Can you prove that it didn't happen? We once laughed at the horseless carriage, the aeroplane, the telephone, the electric light, vitamins, radio, and even television. And now some of us laugh in outer space. God help us in the future.